Hello again, you're listening to the News at One. A life of courage and consequence, a politician who broke the mould, radical and incorruptible. Just some of the tributes from across the political spectrum today to former government minister and founder of the Progressive Democrats, Des O'Malley, who has died at the age of 82. Taoiseach Micheál Martin, from whose Fianna Fáil party Mr O'Malley was expelled in 1984, said his had been a record of real achievement. Elected a TD for Limerick in 1968 when he was still in his 20s, Des O'Malley went on to serve as Minister for Justice during the turbulent early years of the Northern Ireland Troubles, and then to found the Progressive Democrats with Mary Harney and others in 1985. We'll be talking to Mary Harney in just a few minutes. But first, Conor McMurrough looks back at the life of a statesman described by President Michael D. Higgins today as an outstanding example of dedicated public service.
Truly, the mould of Irish politics has been broken.
The young solicitor entered public life in the 1968 by-election to fill his late uncle Donough O'Malley's Fianna Fáil seat in Limerick East. As Minister for Education, Donough O'Malley had introduced free secondary schooling. He was no easy act to follow, and the new TD was immediately nicknamed the Man from Uncle. This was a reference to the 1960s TV series of the same name. Here he is speaking to RTE's 7 days programme during the May 1968 by-election campaign.
What kind of questions do you get in at the doorways, Mr O'Malley?
Well, I find there are no questions at most of the doorways. They wish me good luck and assure me of their support. But the questions that I do find most common here are questions relating to housing.
In 1970, 31-year-old Des O'Malley was appointed Minister for Justice under Taoiseach Jack Lynch, for whom he had served as Parliamentary Secretary and Government Chief Whip in his first 2 years as a TD. As Minister for Justice, he took a tough line with the IRA, establishing the Special Criminal Court and introducing the Offences Against the State Act. He recalled those turbulent times on The Late Late Show in October 2014.
I received threats from the Provisional IRA particularly. I was told by the guards that I couldn't stay in the same place in Dublin for more than a week, so I used to have to move around all the time.
His no-nonsense style carried through to other portfolios, principally that of industry and commerce. During the 1973 general election, Jack Lynch predicted that Des O'Malley would lead Fianna Fáil. He didn't, but he formed an intense rivalry with the man who would.
There were times, I suppose, when you began to think that the relationship of some of the deputies towards Mr. Hoy was like that of cult members to the cult leader. Even when objective evidence suggested that the leader of the cult was on shaky ground and was acting in a dubious fashion.
He broke ranks with Fianna Fáil in 1985 when he clashed with Mr. Hoy over the repeal of the ban on contraceptives for the unmarried. O'Malley revoiced his seminal February 1985 Dáil speech for a 2001 TV documentary made by Praxis Pictures.
There is a choice of a kind that can only be answered by saying that I stand by the Republic and accordingly I will not oppose this bill.
The Fianna Fáil National Executive expelled him for what was deemed conduct unbecoming.
I hope that's not conduct unbecoming now.
In December 1985, he founded the Progressive Democrats. It marked a move away from Civil War politics along the path of a liberal, pro-business and secular route.
Less than 6 months ago, the Progressive Democrats did not exist. A torch was lit on the 21st of December, and it's now become a burning fire.
The PDs had undoubted appeal under O'Malley, and in their first election in 1987, they won 14 Dáil seats. 2 years later, the most unlikely of coalitions was formed when it became clear that Charlie Haughey needed Des O'Malley to form a government. However, when Albert Reynolds replaced Mr. Haughey as Taoiseach in 1992, relations were strained when Reynolds accused O'Malley of being dishonest during the Beef Tribunal. The PDs pulled out of government and in 1993, Des O'Malley retired as party leader. He unsuccessfully contested the 1994 European elections. His former PD party colleague Pat Cox beat him to the last seat in the Munster constituency.
The next operation is the exclusion of the lowest continuing candidate, O'Malley. But as this leaves two continuing candidates for two vacancies unfilled, Mr. Cushnahan and Mr. Cox are deemed to be elected without...
It seems extraordinary to me that a man who was a candidate for the leadership of a party should turn his back on that party a very short time later.
The man from Uncle, who would stand by the Republic, look back on public life with few regrets.
That's because my career didn't follow an entirely conventional route or path. Doesn't mean that I feel dissatisfied with it. I'm happy looking back that I did my best for a third of a century. Even if that entails trotting on a fair number of toes and following a fairly lone path at times, so be it. That's what I felt I was called to do.
The voice of Des O'Malley, who has passed away, ending that from Conor McMurrow. We're joined now on the programme by Mary Harney, who succeeded Des O'Malley as leader of the Progressive Democrats. Mary Harney, you're welcome to the programme on this very sad day. Our thoughts clearly are very much with the O'Malley family, but also with you, his many political, former political allies and friends. He'd perhaps not been so well in recent times, but I think his death has come as a real shock.
Thank you, Brian. Certainly has. It's very hard for me to get my head around the fact that Des O'Malley has gone. He's been a friend of mine for 40 years, my political mentor. And even a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago today, in fact, or in fact 2 weeks tomorrow, he came out to vote in the South Dublin Bay South by-election from the nursing home, even though he was very unwell. He was, by any standards, an extraordinary person. And I'm really going to miss him, as so many other people are. But my thoughts today are obviously immediately with his family, his six children, his 13 grandchildren. Des, first of all, was a family man. He had a wonderful marriage to Pat, who passed away 4.5 years ago. They were married for almost 50 years. Theirs was, as he described in his eulogy, a real marriage. And he was very proud of his six children. He spoke frequently about them. Myself, I knew them long before I ever met them. And in more recent years, his 13 grandchildren brought him great joy. And it's, you know, when I saw him yesterday, he was clearly suffering. And as a friend, it's good to see that the pain and suffering is over. But certainly, we will all miss him. And Ireland is a better place because of Des O'Malley. He was a man. I've listened to the tributes today. The words being used are courage, principle, integrity. And they're all so, so true. He was an outstanding public servant in the best sense of that word. And it's, you know, it's hard to believe that at the age of 30 he was government chief whip, which would have been very difficult in those years. And at 31 he was Minister for Justice. And as people have heard, he had to sleep with a gun under his pillow. He couldn't stay in the same house in Dublin for more than 1 week at a time. His wife and children were often taken in the middle of the night out of their home because they were in a dangerous situation. His in-laws in Omagh, Pat, his wife, was from Omagh. Her family business was blown up by the IRA. And he was completely opposed to the IRA campaign of violence in the north. He was convinced that peaceful engagement with all sides was the only way to secure solutions to the political and social problems. And he reminded us all frequently of the fragility of democracy and the dangers to the state posed by the ongoing violence. Des always drew a very clear distinction between a modern republic and the ever-present threat of militant republicanism. He was a genuine republican, and he was a man of unwavering principle, willing to speak out and act in the interests of peace and democracy. But I think I'm not going to do it the injustice of trying to sum up his life, but except to say he had a very sharp intellect. He was a ferocious opponent, but a powerful ally. He had a great sense of humour, absolutely great sense of humour, and that remained right up to the last. I saw him yesterday. He was obviously not able to talk when I saw him yesterday, but on Sunday morning I had a long conversation with him, and it was full of humour, even though it was clear that he hadn't long left in this world. And he kept that remarkable sense of perspective right to the very end. Nobody would ever intimidate him. And, you know, if you were a civil servant coming to present to him, you had to make sure that you knew all your facts. He was very thorough, very, very thorough indeed. And on Sunday, one of the things he said to me was that he really regretted the fact that Anne McCabe sent him an invitation to the late Gerry McCabe's commemoration 25 years after his death, which was held in Adair a few weeks ago. And he said, I was really, really sorry I wasn't able to go. Mm. But I was able to send her a message to tell her I was in a nursing home. And because he spoke frequently about the great injustice that was done to Gerry McCabe and Ben O'Sullivan. They were people that he knew well. They were part of a security team in Limerick. And he took Gerry's death and Ben O'Sullivan's serious injuries really, really seriously. He really felt for them as if they were an extended member of his family. And he spoke frequently about the courage and bravery of Anne McCabe, even last Sunday morning.
You've mentioned Mary Harney, his own courage in facing the threats, particularly at the early stage of his career that he faced, the principal stand he took at various stages. Another word that's been used to characterise his contribution to Irish politics today is consequential. He is a politician who changed our politics in ways that we're still living with today. For example, clearly with the formation of the Progressive Democrats, but also then by leading that party back into coalition government with his great rival, Charlie Haughey and Fianna Fáil.
Yes, I think it's fair to say he did break the mould, and that coalition ended, perhaps began the end of Civil War politics. I heard the columnist Gerry Howland this morning speak about he fractured an old order. I thought that was a really excellent way of putting it. You know, he reformed industrial policy in Ireland. He established the Culleton Commission to look at how we would reform Irish industrial policy to make it fit for purpose and to make sure that we could grow and be a successful economy. He brought in the first Competition Act in Ireland. There was the whole issue around the beef tribunal. Mm-hmm. When he became minister, he noted that Ireland was indebted to the extent that we were had export credit insurance for more beef than the country was producing, and therefore we were probably covering other countries' beef, and he cancelled that to save the taxpayer at least 100 million at the time. So in every sense he stood by the Republic, whether it was standing by the taxpayer, whether it was reforming our company law, whether it was making our economy fit for purpose to grow employment and jobs. And in more recent years in politics, he was originally, when I first met him, quite conservative on what I call social issues. But he grew with Ireland, and you know, as you know, he got thrown out of Fianna Fáil because he refused to vote against the then government's family planning legislation. And you know, that was something that maybe 20 years earlier wouldn't have happened. But Des was very much a man of his time. He reflected on issues. He had a great sense of duty, a great sense of public service, and he always wanted to do the right thing. And right up to the end, he remained very interested in politics. He was also, of course, very well read. He had a great interest in the art and a particular interest in sport, both rugby and, of course, racing. And I'd say he was backing horses maybe up to last week. He certainly had a great interest in sport of all kinds, but particularly rugby and racing.
And just a word about the formation of the Progressive Democrats, Mary Harney, because although he'd been expelled at that stage from Fianna Fáil, he was reluctant, was he not, to take the next step, to form his own party. And that was something that I think you and others really had to persuade him to do.
Yes. He was up for it initially after he was expelled from Fianna Fáil, and there were quite a few people that were going to join him. But then as they moved away from joining him, he got somewhat nervous and wondered, was it the right thing to do? And I suppose people like myself and Michael McDougall and some other people did persuade him to do so. It could not have happened without him. He had the street cred. He had the political experience. He commanded huge respect in the country. I remember going to our first meeting in Malahide, and there was a traffic jam. It was about 7 o'clock in the evening. And we wondered why there was a traffic jam, and it was because people were going to the meeting, and he was completely shocked at the response. We started the party on the 21st of December 1985, so it wasn't exactly the right time to start a political party, I suppose. But it did become the subject of much discussion over Christmas, and our first few meetings in the month of January, February were just unbelievable in terms of the crowds of people that turned up.
Right. Well, our condolences to you and, as I say, to his many friends who will be mourning his passing today. Mary Harney, thank you for talking to us here on the programme.